God wants to kind of come in and ready our hearts for what's about to be released. We love the call on your life, Dan. We're absolutely running with you. You're helping build champions here. We're rooting for you everywhere you go. And we thank God for a man that runs well and sets a pace and an example for Christians like us and like you. So tonight, if you would do me a favor and just love Jesus and one of his champions, come on up, Pastor Dan Muller.
Man, some good things said already. I got the easy part. I can come up here and just spring off of some good things that were already said. Do me a favor. It's just on my heart. You can probably do this on your phone. You're pretty techie. Just look up the word champion, a definition. Just give us a Webster's definition. I think that'll work. And I want you to jump up here and read.
All right. So a champion is a person who has defeated or surpassed all rivals in a competition, especially in sports. A champ, for example, a champion hurdler. There are also synonyms like winner, title holder, defending champion, gold medalist. And it's also a person who fights or argues for a cause or on behalf of someone else. A champion of women's rights, for example, or champion of you know, you guys are all champions for that.
Read that very first part again, or did you lose it?
No.
The very first part about
a person who has defeated or surpassed all rivals in a competition.
Is that good? Okay, now I want you to flip totally spiritual and get off athletics and sports. And just think about life. Overwhelmingly overcome, that's what I heard you say. Defeating all rivals. Man, there's rivals against our faith. There's rivals against our character. From the time you were born, there was things coming against you to defeat what you were created to be and try to tell you what you were. So we got to overcome every rival. And anything that comes against what you're here for in him is a rival. It could be an attitude even through a loved one. The loved one's not the rival, but the attitude is. Your war is not people. Your war is never flesh and blood. But I'm telling you, there's a war that we're all in. And we fight the good fight of faith. We don't fight with people. We fight the good fight of faith and we continue to believe what he paid, what we're here for, what he paid for. Are you following me? So we're going to overcome. We're going to defeat every rival. And I'm telling you, man, I'm talking to a room of men. I love this. This is awesome. Thanks for letting me come down. Thanks for inviting me. And thanks for coming, guys. It's just a joy to see everybody up here worshiping Jesus together. It was fun. To overwhelmingly overcome. I'll go back to that phrase because I liked it. I was listening to it and I thought, man, I'm just going to spring off of some of this stuff because it's all about what a champion is. There's things that are designed. Sometimes it's just life coming, but sometimes things are designed to get you to think a certain way, become a certain thing, believe a certain way. And it's a strategy and it's actually, you mentioned an orphan mentality in a home, et cetera, et cetera. There's things that are said. There's people that are under demonic influences in our lives that don't even realize it, and neither do we. They say things that they're being inspired to say through wrong attitudes, bad motives, just living in darkness. And all of a sudden, out of their mouth comes things that their heart has begun to believe. But it doesn't mean it's true. But it's directed at you, and again and again and again, and years go by, and all of a sudden it becomes truth to us. David said, I'm going to challenge you. I am. I'm not insensitive when I say this. Listen, I'm a pretty raw fellow when it comes to this stuff. I'm not being insensitive. I understand some of us have some tough stories in that sense. But, man, what if we just lay down honoring that story so much tonight? And let's just talk plain. Let's just not honor the story. I asked the Lord, why do people hold on to their past so tight? And here's what I heard the Lord say, and this wasn't too long ago. This was a few months ago. He said it's the only place they've ever found any sense of identity. And they won't let go of their story because it's the only place they ever found any sense of identity. And they actually believe that what they've been through is a piece of who they are or who they are. And then they feel like they need to have people address that, hear that out. Well, you got to hear my story. Man, if your story hasn't produced the kingdom life or the love of God or the nature of God, it's not your story. That you go through. You say, yeah, but you don't know what it was like all those years. And then it produces something like an orphan mentality. And then you say, yeah, but you don't know what it was like when I was growing up. Here's what I'm trying to say to you. What it was like when you were growing up has nothing to do with right now as a man seeking the Lord. Don't compare the two. Don't think you're going to get to one through the other. We got to learn to disconnect that thing if it didn't produce life. And if it's not telling you who you are in Christ, it's telling you something less. It's a rival. Are you with me? It's a rival without you even realizing it. It's just common knowledge, just human reasoning, just basic intellect. The way we've learned to think and rationalize can be a rival. If the way you're going isn't producing life, if the way you're thinking it out isn't producing Him or forming Him in you, but showing you you're something less than what He paid for, it can't be truth. Are you following me? So listen, I'm not being insensitive. I don't need to go into my story. Don't need to go into yours tonight. This weekend, let's throw that thing out. Let nobody in this place be an orphan. That's overwhelmingly overcome by this simple truth. That's not who you made me to be. People didn't even know who I was in the first place. People had their own issues, and I'm not going to let that decide who I am if Christ died on the cross, raised from the dead, and put His life inside of me. Are you following me? Come on, you got to get matter of fact about this thing. That's called a champion. You're going to beat this thing. It's competing against the truth in your life. And you got to stand up and compete against this thing and beat this thing by being a champion in the faith. Are you following me? A lot of this has to do with faith. It just has to do with faith. Faith is sometimes it's not just always a tool. It's not just a tool in your belt to get God to move. Faith is an attitude. Faith's a perspective. Faith is what you see and believe. It's just faith that takes you through that thing because you won't budge from what you know down in your heart. Even though everything else around you isn't saying the same thing. You follow me? Sometimes we don't see that as faith, but that's faith. Faith. You're wrapping faith around everything. Watch this. Let me show you a simple attitude of faith. Okay, I'm just going to talk from my perspective. This is me talking. This is the way I treat myself. I'm not telling you to do this, and don't compare yourself to me. This wouldn't be a bad idea to grab. When you ain't looking, here's what I know. When you ain't around, here's what I know. He's the Lord. And one day I'm standing before Him, and He has nothing but love for me, and He paid a price to put His life in me, and He paid for me to become something. He paid for me to shine. So faith says, no matter how I feel, no matter how wrong that was, no matter what they said or didn't say, no matter what went down, I'm going to live and walk like Him. And I'm not going to let anything that's not of Him or that looks like Him get on me and begin to look like that thing. Are you following me? I'm done with excuses. I'm done with, yeah, but they said, yeah, but it's hard, man. Yeah, but you don't know how long I've been. Well, how long am I supposed to? I'm done with all that. Faith says none of that has nothing to do with truth. They're side issues. They're rivals. Are you with me? Come on. So we got to man up, right? Man up. Let's man up. And let's say, wait a minute. What do I really believe? What am I in this thing for? Why am I a Christian? Why am I here? What am I searching for? What am I after? Man, you got to answer that in your own heart. Because it's you that'll stand before Him that day. And that's not a fear tactic. I'm not saying that because, oh my gosh, we've got to stand. No. It's what faith says. This is real. I don't have time for whatever. Whatever, man. Well, I just ain't feeling it, man. Don't give yourself permission. Be a champion over that. Say, man, if not feeling it is going to cause me to be lackadaisical or compromised or be something less than he paid for and violate my conscience in the long run and make me cycle again in my identity. It's a rival. You got to beat that thing. How do you beat it? Simple faith. That's where you find integrity and character. Character and integrity. Simple faith. It's not a human thing. I don't believe or man's getting glory. No. God is behind all this stuff. And grace is sufficient. And as you release faith in the truth, grace comes to make truth your reality. So wonder if character and integrity is found through simple faith where you draw a line and say compromise is never an option because he's the Lord and he's real and I believe him. See, I'm being simple tonight. That should be simple. You enter in feelings and, yeah, but it's not that simple, brother. You know, I get this thing that comes over me. No. That thing starts coming over you. It's not producing life. Stop buying into it. Stop making it who you are and stop thinking you always need prayer. I don't think we need prayer as much as we think we need prayer. I think we need truth and I think we need to act on the truth. And I think in the integrity of our own heart, we need to stand and release faith out of our own heart and say, no way, I'm his. What'd you pray, man? When you had an encounter with God, you said, make me what you want me to be. You get alone, you start talking to God like that. You start talking to God like that and you say, Holy Spirit, if anything compromising even starts tricking me into a mindset that doesn't produce who you are, man, shake me, change me, but do a work in me. Now you tell me if us men as individuals are praying that when nobody's looking, that thing is happening in our lives because Holy Spirit's moving. You hear me? So all I'm talking about tonight is a simple raw place of, hey, I'm in this thing and I'm for real. And I'm not compromising it. I'm going to be a believer. I'm going to believe what he created me for, what he called me to. Let me just tell you real basic what he created you for. He created you to shine. Let your light so shine. Before men. Doesn't say unless, of course, you just had a hard time. You just had a fallout with a buddy. You just got laid off. Your car just got wrecked. You don't even have a car. Let your light so. So why are we on the earth? Nobody has lit a lamp and then puts a basket over it and hides the lamp. Why are we born again? To shine. Come on, it's scriptural. You are the... So anything that's coming against the light is a rival of the truth of why you're here. Anything that's coming against your disposition, your attitude, your belief system, your motivation, it's all a rival. And here's the trouble. It doesn't have to be trouble, but it's sneaky. We all grew up in this same wisdom of the world, this same feely movie thing that, you know, that just justifies stuff that doesn't produce life. I'm being straight right now. I'm being hardcore with you. Faith says I'm done with that. I'm not talking perfection right now. I'm talking purity. I'm talking sincerity. This man was far from perfect when he prayed that. And he said, in time. And in time. Now, don't you make in time, don't define that. 10 years from now, well, he's working on me, brother. And you still got the same stinky attitude, man. Don't be buying no time. What he's saying is grace started working in his life and things around him started changing and things that weren't there began to be there. Things that weren't in him began to show up. People that weren't in his life all of a sudden were in his life. But God heard his prayer, sincere from the heart. But it's not just God just doing that. There's a time where you got to stand in faith. when everything's coming against what you prayed for concerning change. And I'm telling you, people is the biggest trap on the planet. We justify it all the time. I pastored for a little while and we say, well, yeah, but if he wouldn't know, well, I can't believe she, well, she should have known better. Well, he didn't have to. Well, how come he, well, I wouldn't feel this way if they didn't. And we always make our life be a product and an outraying of somebody else's life, but it's supposed to be Jesus. Come on, this isn't religious. This isn't just church language and we're supposed to say this from the pulpit. This is scriptural stuff. You know, all of a sudden we're letting one person in our life decide how we're doing and who we are, and his name ain't Jesus. Now that's a problem. That's a problem, because then we're gonna play the instruments and sing he's Lord. And let something else govern who we are and how we are. And now we're learning how to do church instead of be what he paid for. See, a champion beats those things. Now let me talk to you real quick and smooth about this, and we'll do what we got to do. But okay, this is how I believe I'm hearing it from the Lord. I'm not power playing you. I just believe this is God telling me to say it, just like this. A champion doesn't live by feelings. Can't afford to. He will never win. A champion doesn't live by feelings. He can't afford to. He will never win. Living by feelings. You live by truth. You live by faith. Honestly, I'm not being insensitive, guys. This is how I live. This is the way I live. People have, it's weird to me sometimes, but people have complimented that know me, been around me, been there for years. They compliment who I've been, what they see in me, consistency, steadfastness. You're always the same. Da, da, da. Well, I see the same. Nothing's changed. He has not changed. And I'm not for sale. I read that in the Bible, so I'm not going to sell cheap because I'm not for sale. So I already sold out. So by faith, I hold myself to that when nobody's looking. That's called character and integrity. God gives us that privilege to walk in those things by taking what he says and believing it first and foremost, apart from feelings. Yeah, but when she did that, that really hurt. I understand what you're saying. But you can't let that really hurt become a justification that rises above truth that you're called to. I'm not saying it doesn't hurt, but you can't justify the pain above the truth and become a product of pain instead of a product of truth. That's called a champion. Those feelings are rivals. It's not that you don't have to face them. It's not that you ignore them. It's not that you say, oh, I'm not hurt. You learn to understand in your heart that no matter how you're feeling, if it's not producing life, if it's not causing you to shine, if it's dimming the light, it's a rival. The whole goal of the enemy is to take out your light. Because if he can take out your light, you're not influential. You reproduce nothing and you exist and you go to church instead of be her. I'm not being mean. I'm being raw and real tonight. Are you okay? That's not too harsh, right? The whole war you're in is to keep you from shining. He paid for you to shine. He paid to put his light in you. Your life matters so much. You know how we've all been taught, well, he's not too significant. Well, if he wasn't around, nobody even noticed. Wow, he's really important. Wow, he's a little important. You know how we've gotten into titles, badges, authority, position. Yeah, it's kind of messy. Because honestly, everybody in this room has the same value to walk in the light as he's in the light. I don't care your age, your size, your shape, your waist, I don't care. I don't care if you have a full head of hair, half a head of hair. It doesn't, none of that stuff. But that stuff's mattered to folks. But here's the deal. You're all called to shine. You say, yeah, but I've been through, yeah, but you don't know what, you don't know what it's like growing up. Stop. None of that has anything to do with who he is in you and why he's in you. Everybody in this room, this is not hype, guys. It's worth the blood of Jesus to him. Everybody in this room is worth the mercy of God to God. And while you were yet a sinner, he sent his son. Why? Because it's not about the sin, it's about you shining. He knows what you look like if you let him forgive you and put his life in you and you shine. It's worth paying for. We make it all about getting to heaven. He wants to light the light. What's it matter if the whole earth prays a prayer to go to heaven and we still live in the same attitude, same thing, still bicker, fight, but we're all forgiven and we're all going to heaven someday? This has nothing to do with nothing. It's light coming in you. It's overwhelmingly overcoming. Defeating every rival. The whole purpose of the war is to steal the light and keep you from being productive. In this, the Father is well pleased that you bear much and that your fruit, it's important. And then enough works that can take you there. Receiving who he says you are through his son, what he paid for and why, is a really big deal. And just being humble and saying, thanks. Man, you knew me way before I ever had a clue who I was. You know why I'm here. You know why you made me. You know why you saw my day. You know why you paid the price you paid while I was yet a sinner. I'm going with you. I'm sticking with you on this one. Yeah? And then you apply purpose to that and say there's a reason. It's not just so I'm forgiven and my name's written in a book called Life. And when the trumpet blows, praise God, I'm in. Who knows? That's awesome. But the Bible says you're going to have boldness in that day anyway. If you're walking in the perfection of love. Because as he is, so are you in this world. So if we're not growing to that goal, we won't be a champion in love. Are you following me? So if we become a champion in love, I think this thing's a wrap. Because faith works through. And there's such a vanity out there that we think this is a weird thing sometimes, but we should talk about it more. When I first got saved, I said, Lord, I ain't praying for nobody until you form yourself in me. I'm only going to pray that I become what you paid for. This is when I first got saved. Holy Spirit put this conviction in me, and it wasn't selfish. I need to become the man you paid for me to be. I need to be everything you desire. And I'm going to stay here and I'm going to pray this thing till you make my heart one with yours. I didn't pray for nobody else. I didn't pray for my wife, my marriage, or nothing. Why? Because even until I do this and see this in this place of faith and become this, when I say do this, pray this so faith is in my heart and then grace can make me this thing, I can't even pray for my wife from the right place. Until I become love, there's self-centeredness laced in a lot of prayers. Hurt, neediness, idolatry is mixed into a lot of tear-filled prayers. And then we wonder why we prayed and prayed and prayed and God didn't change that thing. Because changing that thing, you said it, circumstances. Is the goal your circumstances changing? Or is the goal you becoming what he would be if he was in that circumstance? Come on, guys, listen with me now tonight. Open your heart to this. Is our highest goal getting that thing to change? Or becoming what he would be if he was in it? Can I be real since I'm just, well, I got some ladies in the back row. They're eavesdropping, but they're all right. They're serving. I'm just talking to you men now. You ladies came here. No, I'm just kidding. The Lord, I don't share this much in services. Some people tend to judge themselves, compare themselves. But I feel grace to share this. I was sitting in my bed one day talking to the Lord. And the Lord asked me a question. to provoke faith in me and get me to pursue right things. He said, if everybody in the world that said they were a Christian became what you are, would anybody know? Did you get that? He said, if everybody in the world that said they were a Christian became exactly what you are, would it make a difference? That's not condemnation. That's a good, healthy challenge of faith. Because what he's saying is, watch, to you as an individual, when I'm passing that on, and I have grace to share that tonight, here's what he's saying to you as an individual. You matter that much. Your life can be that influential. You are that important when you're walking in that truth. That he would shed his blood to restore that purpose for your life. Now faith embraces that. Faith says, yep, okay. I'm all in. You know what the beginning of wisdom is? Yeah. Where's that? Psalms 111. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Proverbs 1. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. So the very beginning of wisdom, he tells you to pursue wisdom, to seek wisdom, above all, get wisdom. And the very beginning of it, the starting block of wisdom, is the reverence and awe of God. That means what he says. This is how you live by faith. This isn't legalism, guys. This isn't legalism. You could get legalistic with this if you don't understand grace and goodness and God's love and going after the goal, and you just get to serve in some trying to fulfill rules. Or it's not a bunch of rules. It's a relationship. He said, if you love me, you'll do what I say to do. He doesn't say, if you love me, you'll do what I say to do. See, you can hear it legalistic. Well, if you love me, you need to prove it, because if you love me, you'll be doing what I said to do. Why aren't you doing what I said to do? See, you don't love me. No, what he's saying is, when you see who I am and why, and you open your heart and understand and let the goodness of God lead you to repentance and receive forgiveness and receive mercy and say yes to righteousness and stand clean and holy and blameless and above reproach in his sight. Man, that's going to get in your heart, and the fear of the Lord will be the birthing place of wisdom, and you'll do what he said to do. Yeah? Why? Because it's relational. Because you want to. It's relational. Are you with me? Come on, the fear of the Lord, the reverence of the Lord. So all of a sudden you say, what he says matters more than anything I'm feeling. That's why I told you. Feelings is the big enemy. You'll never be a champion if you live by feelings. Do you know how many people live by feelings that are sincere and see their need for a Savior and understand that God sent His Son and believe in Christ? But they live by their feelings. Do you know how many prayers are driven by feelings? Do you know how many sincere people spend time with people and pray trying to get their feelings to change instead of their belief system? It's all a strategy to keep the light from being lit, even though you're sincere. See, I'm not talking about retrobates. I'm not talking about hypocrisy. I'm talking about destroyed for the lack of knowledge. I'm talking about deception. I'm talking about sincere folks that have wrong believing. And they're not a champion over the rivals. The rivals are winning. And their light's not shining. And they have three reasons why. And if we can fix these three reasons, I'd be doing better. But the three reasons aren't Lord. So why are they governing your life? Well, I'd be in a better place if it wasn't for... So I've been just praying for that to change. Whoa, wait. You shining shouldn't be conditional on something changing. Except for you. You say, that's pretty straight and not hard. No, it's not hard. Where do I get it? Looking at Jesus' life on the earth. Did Jesus say to honor me, sing to me, pray to me, or did he say to follow me? See where I got this stuff? I got it out of the Bible. Did Jesus invite you to follow him? So in his life, was he done wrong? Was he misunderstood? Was he gossiped about? Could you imagine if there was social media in Jesus' day? Somehow it almost seems like there was. People had a way of getting things around. But if you look at the Word of God, here's this man named Jesus, who's the Son of God, who came in the flesh to set this thing right. And people couldn't even see who he was. People mistreated him. People were sure he was wrong. People were sure he was a blasphemer. And in the end, the majority was sure he was worthy of death. That's a pretty serious thing. When you've done nothing wrong, you think he'd have been saying, I need a lawyer. You're violating my rights. This is no fair. It's what I honor about Jesus so much. He's a champion. There's a million rivals coming. And he wins over everyone. He's hanging on the cross and he's become a champion in love. And because he's love, he's not seeking his own. You can't change him. You can't touch him. He's already established in truth. He is the truth. Here's what's amazing. You could get religious all day and say, well, that was Jesus. No, no, no. He said, follow me. He said, the things I do, you'll do if you believe. 1 John 2 says, if you say you abide in him, you ought to walk even as he walked. Let's just stop thinking power and miracles all the time. Let's think character, integrity, and living by the Spirit. Let's be in a position where everybody has you figured wrong and you're not threatened by it because you know who you are in him and you know he knows you. Are you with me? See, that's relational. So if people are, if they got a wrong idea of why I did something, why am I threatened by that when I know why I did it? And one day I'll stand before him and it'll all be worked out in him. Because if you don't really know who you are this way, you'll let this matter way more. And then you'll live by feelings and you'll never be a champion. Is that fair? Now, I know I heard that in my heart. You'll never beat these rivals and be a champion over these rivals if you're living by feelings. It's got to be faith in the truth. And the truth is in him. Come on, man. Who was ever treated more wrong than Jesus? And he never let that change him. That's awesome. See, we ought to, the fear of the Lord comes through those things. And you get alone when nobody's looking. And you just sit on the edge of a bed. You shut everything down for a little. And you just sit on a chair somewhere. You take a ride in a car, pull over, something. Just take a walk, man. Just you, your heart, and God. And you tell him you respect that and you want that in your life. And I ain't playing. And Holy Spirit, I welcome you. Do in me what you desire. Have your way. Those kind of prayers are phenomenal. Now, you don't pray that and then just wait for that to happen. You sniff out the rivals along the way. And you don't budge from what you know is truth. And every day you wake up, you understand the reason you woke up is to be more like him. The reason you woke up is to love. Not be loved, be love. See, if that's your true motive and that becomes you, you say goodbye to insecurity. You can say goodbye to neediness. You can say goodbye. So this makes some people mad, but you can say goodbye to human psychology. You're no longer a prisoner to how people function. All we've done is study a fallen man and we say this is us and this is why we do what we do. Jesus says, get born again and call old things dead and let new things live. And we sell out to the old. Now, I'm not a fan of psychology. It just explains why people function the way they do. But it's looking at the broken thing. Psychology doesn't work with Jesus. He's in denial. Are you with me? And I'm not, if you went to college for psychology, I'm not blasting you. What I'm saying is, all it does is diagnose. Psychology diagnoses. Truth is the answer. It makes you free. So there's a thing out there people call it Christian psychology. The only way it would be Christian psychology is if you use the truth about psychology to diagnose why somebody's functioned this way and then blast it with strong truth to get it out of the way and raise up that thing in the person. That would be healthy counsel. You see what I mean? A lot of counsel is aimed at people feeling better. Not feeling lonely anymore. You say, I just need prayer. I feel so lonely. It must be a spirit of loneliness. Nope, you just don't have a strong enough fellowship with Him like you could. It's not, nobody's judging you for feeling lonely, but if you let lonely decide you, that's not cool. So you get alone, you sit on your bed in the face of the feeling lonely, you say, Father, I so thank you that I'm never alone. Man, I thank you that you're always in me. You'll never leave me, never forsake me. You're in me, and I love you so much, and thank you for loving me. The next thing you know, the reality of God starts birthing in your heart. You'll laugh at the thought that you ever believed you were lonely. I'm just telling you. But you spend 7 years praying against a feeling instead of filling your heart with the truth. Are you guys cool? Come on, man. I'm calling every one of you to this because He is. But we're not going to get there. We're not going to be champions without faith in our own hearts. We don't want to just know about God. We're not just studying ministry and ministry schools. They're everywhere right now, which I think is awesome. But let's just make sure that we don't take any of that stuff take the place of knowing Him and becoming like Him. Because knowing about Him doesn't change you. In the long run, it'll turn and bite you. Because everything you know isn't the reality of your life, and that'll try to get you. You can know so much about God that it like shoots you in the foot. You'll start judging your own life. You'll base yourself where you're not. And then you'll say, man, if I ain't there by now, I don't know if I'll ever get there. I've sat under so-and-so, so-and-so. So-and-so laid their hands on me. I've heard this, sir, and I've this. I listened to this 10 times. And if I didn't get it by now, man, something must be wrong. Are you with me? No, it's not until you, by faith, just get alone with Him. And there's no other answer. There's no better answer. This is an amazing, good answer. And there's no simpler answer. This is an amazing, simple answer. You get alone with Him. You believe that He is. You believe that He loves you. And you tell Him you don't have room anymore in your life for compromises, whatevers, or feelings. And Holy Spirit, I'm serious and help me in this, but I'm going after this because you paid for me to be a champion and that's what I am. Don't be afraid to talk that way. Watch. And thank you for loving me. Thank you for forgiving me. Thank you for putting your life inside of me. Everything that He says is true. You say yes to it. And don't ask for it. Agree with it. Are you with me? And you just start going after God that way. Without getting to know Him, without personal relationship, without wrapping faith around these truths. That knowing of God, that reality of God will never form in your heart. It's relational. Eternal life is knowing Him. It's not a confession of faith. Are you with me? Now, I'm not saying the confession of faith and, well, now you're not saved. No, no. You can see your need for a Savior. You can believe in the cross. You can pray Romans 10:9 out with sincerity. But what's any of that have to do with walking this thing out? That's a starting point, not an end. Are you with me? So we've got to walk this thing out. It's not works. It's simple faith in the truth. He's in me. He wants to live in me. And all that He is in me. And the whole reason I'm alive is to shine. I'm waking up to love. because love is shining. Are you with me? And anything that tries to hinder that truth is a rival in your life. And sometimes we're our own enemies in that will justify the things that are rivaling. You following what I'm saying? I'm kind of going around again, but it feels important. That justification thing. When your own conscience is violated, kind of living in a violated conscience, and you know, and you ain't been dealing with, and now you're avoiding conversation with a certain person or two because they always ask you how you're doing, and you feel like you're going to have to lie again or whatever. And then you start saying, well, nobody's my judge anyway. They don't know what I'm really going through. They don't know how tough it's been. Are you with me? And all you're doing is defending staying the same. When staying the same is suffocating you spiritually. You do not need permission to be less than who He is in you. So don't seek it out. Come on, man. I'm just trying to help you with simple justifications. I've been around a bunch of folks as a pastor, and they're trying to give me the 10 reasons why they're okay not being okay. And I'm like, it's not okay. Are you with me? Because none of the reasons are Lord. I'm not being unreal. I'm not saying you don't have to walk through life and talk things out and stuff. But what you do is you attach strong truth to it. So yeah, you might have lost your job this week and you don't know where your money's coming from, and you just broke up with your fiance and you were going to get married in 3 months. And I get all that. And it's real stuff. What you got to do is pull back, get alone and say, oh man, I'm a whirlwind of feelings right now. God, I don't even know what's going on in my life, but I know this. I'm going back to square one. I don't want to touch her wrong. I'm not going to panic and fall apart and become a laid off man. I'm your son. You live in me and I'm called to shine. Holy Spirit, I yield to you. I'm not going to be a hurting man. I'm not going to be insecure. I'm not going to make whatever she did my reason for not being like you. I'm not going to let her become Jesus in my life. I'm not talking about hard-heartedness. I'm talking about getting real. Are you with me? You know what I mean by hard-heartedness. People say, well, I don't care what anybody thinks. No, you were talking like that because you've cared for a long time. Well, I don't care about that, man. Hey, I don't need nobody, man. Jesus loves me. Now, stop. You're hurt. Just stop. See, anything that hinders the light is a rival. And any time you release faith in a truth that takes you over top that thing, that's a champion. Are you with me? And the goal is to become a champion of love. We'll talk about it a lot this weekend. I'm just kind of warming up here tonight. Becoming a champion of love means you've been established in love, which means you do not seek your own. Why? Because you seek ye first His righteousness, and everything you need to walk that out will be added to you. You get it? You see why we're not going to let things matter more if it's not what matters most? Are you with me? There's no other way to say this tonight. You got to walk this out by faith. You might need a brother to take your hand for a day or a week or a month. I don't know. But ultimately, this thing boils down to you believing you have this value, this calling, and He paid for it. And you getting real with God based on that, to where you let Him love you, forgive you, and reevaluate the value of your life. Because if you don't find yourself through Him, you've got a wrong view. Something else is telling you who you are. And in the end, that something else won't be there. Are you with me? So you can only truly find you through Him. So if you're not looking at you through Him, you're not getting a good view of you. This is simple. And you're called to live this thing by faith. Are you with me? So it's just really important. I don't know. Man, that felt good. I think that was good. You getting something out of that? No, it felt happy in my heart. Okay, it's good. I'm listening because I'm like, Lord, am I done? I thought I was. I got one more little piece here, unless something else comes, but this is my little piece I got. When you let this be the foundational truth of your life, what he paid for and how he sees you, it's where you, in a healthy way, start liking yourself. Start loving yourself. Come on, man. The biggest detriment in our lives was a false identity, and a lot of us didn't like who we were at all. I mean, we didn't trust our own selves with nothing. We put that on everybody else because we thought everybody was like us. And it was just a mess. Everything's messed up out there without Jesus. And addictive behaviors and whatever and cycles, they all stem from a low esteem, from people not knowing who they really are and seeing the value of their life. Are you with me? So the only thing that can keep you from caring about what we're saying is that. And it doesn't mean you have a dull heart. It means you're valuing, you're seeing yourself through a lesser truth, and you're settling for something you're not created for. You say, well, then what do I do about that? Talk to him. You get alone tonight. Lord, them things Dan's sharing tonight, they related to me. I could hear the truth in them, but for some reason, I don't even feel convicted. I don't even feel like, and I know I got this and that, and I feel like I've been a whatever, and I've used some reasons for not, but for some reason, I don't even have that fear of the Lord thing that he's talking about. And I know you hear me. I believe you're out there. Watch, you might be in this place if you hear me and if you're out there. He is not offended by that. He's a lot bigger than your if. Like, whether you're if or not, he still is. Like, he's pretty secure. Yeah. I think tomorrow he will be. Like yesterday, today, and forever was, is, always will be. I think that stands true for God. What I'm saying is, you take where your life and heart is and you get real with him. If you feel like you have a low esteem of yourself and you've been letting your value be weighed out by a lot of other things, talk to God about that and start asking him to illuminate your heart in these truths so that that lie is seen for everything that it is, a lie. You see what I'm saying? It's your prayer life, man. It's your communion life. It's how you take steps towards God. Like, there's people that say, well, I can't have fellowship with God. I just feel bad about myself. I cycle this. You don't even know what I did this morning, man. I mean, I'm in pastoral counseling stuff. People will tell me stuff. They'll say, well, you know where I just came from? And I'm like, where'd you just come from? And they'll tell you, and you think you're not going to ever be shocked again when you pastor, but then somebody will shock you. And then I don't go, you've been where? You did what? I say, you just did that? Why? Well, man, because... Well, no, because you don't see the value of your life. That's why. But the more you do it, the more you sit in church, the more you think you're evil, you're not even saved, or there's a devil in you, or you'll never get it. But yet you keep coming back because that thing's crying out in you and your DNA to be with God. Now you believe in all these lies. See, they're all rivals. And you're in all the right places, but you're not becoming what he paid for, so you're not being a champion in that thing that's fighting against you. Are you with me? So what do? You talk to the Lord about your identity, about your value. Lord, in a very simple, humble way, not in a weird way, just please help me to see what you see when you look at me. Simple prayers like that. Meeting God right where you're at in this thing. Because you wouldn't keep going through the motions if you were reprobate or you didn't care or you were so... You wouldn't still show up at church. If you didn't care, you didn't care. Why would you... People come to me and tell me stuff. They cry and they believe their hearts are dead inside. And I'm like, well, then why are you crying? You just believe in lies. You've been scammed. You're crying because down on the inside, there's something called integrity buried in you wants to come out. But you're believing 10 wrong things that's suppressing it. You wouldn't even be telling me about it if you were as bad as you believe. You with me? So don't nobody believe that stuff. It can't be true. You don't come to something like this because you're lost. You say, yeah, I'm lost. I'm trying to get it, man. No. You come to something like this, there's something crying out in you you want to see. There's something more. You got to look at the life in the thing. Not the problem. Yeah? I've said this for years. I think you guys can get this. We're not people loaded down with a million different problems. We got one incredible answer. And we need to keep our eyes on it and go after it. And the just shall live by feelings. Probably the biggest lie in our lives. Because all of our feelings were birthed out of wrong motives, wrong believing, self-centeredness. The feelings you and I have related to weren't birthed by walking in the Spirit. So what does that life look like? I bet brand new. Are you with me? Okay. I think I'm done, man.